Stuart Thompson, editor of Digital TV Europe magazine and digitaltveurope.net. Multi-screen TV, the viewing of content on multiple devices, including tablets, smartphones, games consoles and PCs, as well as TVs, is a growing trend, and one that pay TV service providers are increasingly addressing. In this, the first in a series of three interviews with Yvette Kanouf, president of leading multi-screen TV technology provider SeaChange International. On multi-screen TV, we'll be discussing the opportunities and challenges of multi-screen for service providers. Yvette, what are the key changes in technology and consumer behaviour that are driving a need on the part of service providers to deliver to multiple screens?
I think it's an interesting time shift right now, because what we're seeing is that consumers are asking for content on multiple devices. If you look, for example, at mobile video usage over the last year, it's increased by 41%, increased 100% from 2009. So it's not that consumers are asking for all of their content viewing to move to other devices, but clearly they're interested in being able to have more mobility in their content, more time shifting capability in their content. And so so that change in consumer behavior is now driving a big expectation in technology behavior from either your existing content providers or new sources to meet that requirement.
Yeah. How are different devices, tablets, smartphones, PCs, games consoles, connected TVs, being used by consumers? What are some of the possible implications of these service use cases for service providers?
Oh, it's really interesting, because if you look, for example, everybody says multi-screen and all the devices you mentioned certainly as a part of that. But if you look, for example, at mobile users, 83% of usage on a mobile phone is text messaging for let's say the under 23 year old demographic.
Yeah.
And then you have gaming, you have MMS. All of these are far above the video consumption. So if you really look at video consumption on tablets, on mobile phones, even on the PC, you know, there's a lot of talk about, oh, that's taking over. Everybody loves watching their videos on other devices, but 99% of video is still watched on the television. So I think it comes back to what we said a moment ago. It's the flexibility. It's the desire for that flexibility. So, for example, there's been a lot of work done on trying to measure the length of viewing on a mobile device. That length is in minutes as opposed to in hours. So the flexibility of being able to catch a little bit of a show while you're on the train, you know, being able to move content around, pause it on one device, pick it up on another, that expectation has to be there for service providers to give. But I think that it's still an overwhelming percentage in terms of what's currently being watched on the television. So I think the different devices have to be supported, but I don't think our expectation has to be that it's a resounding shift that's going to happen overnight and a year from now. You know, the growth numbers are high, but it's 1% of video viewing, if that makes sense.
What do you see as the top two or three challenges facing service providers, particularly pay TV service providers, and what do they need to put in place to cater to the growing demand on the part of consumers to view content across these screens?
Well, separate of the licensing issue, I think that from an infrastructure perspective, there's wireless. There's a lot of work being done for Wi-Fi in the home in order to share content via standards, streaming standards like DLNA. There's a data infrastructure that's expected on mobile and IP devices that's sometimes different from a traditional QAM-based network that exists in cable providers, or a DSL-based network that exists in telephony providers. So it's shifting really to the data side. And the biggest challenge that I hear over and over is, what's the business model? I have to create this infrastructure and my customers are going to expect no price increase. So my consumers are going to expect that they can take that content with them on all these devices, but the cost to me is A, licensing cost, B, infrastructure cost, and I don't understand the revenue plan. So on the other side of that, the consumers will get it elsewhere. So if they want to watch content on other devices, they'll get it from another source, and so there's a big competitive issue that, you know, you can have a big churn reduction as a result. So I think those things are challenging each other, and it's certainly been an interesting time.
Finally, what steps do you see service providers taking to meet these challenges, and how many of your own customers are moving into this area, and how are they approaching it?
I think 100% of our customers are looking at it. It's certainly a topic that everybody's really interested in. And they're taking a lot of action. Even in the last month, you've seen several announcements from very large service providers that they're launching home gateways. Home gateways being a device that sits in the home, receives content, has a home storage, a DVR that can be shared amongst devices, that can stream to non-set-top box devices like internet-ready televisions, your gaming consoles, all of these different devices. So the ability to make a whole home experience is one big thing that we see happening. And then second of all, as far as other devices, applications on other devices, like you can use your iPad to change your channels on your TVs and use it as an intelligent remote control where you can look through the content, you know, with an iPad experience as opposed to a traditional television experience. And, you know, getting back to the topic of the challenge of cost, you know, what we are, or of pricing, I am seeing that cable providers think that they have a more robust digital package, and really the pricing comes out in the basic digital package, that has more value over time, separate of the customer loyalty issue.
Yvette, thanks very much.
Thanks so much, Stuart.